Psalm 84 and verse 4 to 7, New International Version of the Bible says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. But before we come back to that, I want to show you something else. Blessed are those who strengthen you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Now look at verse 6. As they've passed through the valley of Baca, Baca means weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Now I want us to take note of this verse, verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. And the first thing I need you to notice is that a lot of times when unpleasant circumstances come up in our lives, a lot of times people are asking, why is God not fixing it? What is God going to do about it? People even say stuff like, I've been praying about it and God has not done anything. Did it dawn on you that the reason why things seem not to be turning is because we are expecting God to do for us what He designed us to do for ourselves? Whatever it is that they are going through, when you read that place in the Hebrew, it says they considered it. Let me say it in another way. They labeled it. So whatever it is that you are going through, what have you called it? Hallelujah. It's not going to turn until you consider it. So listen to this. If you're going through stuff, that's what I told you when the pandemic hit and we started praying. I said we have entered what? Our fruitful season. It will turn into whatever you call it. So don't start praising until you label it. Are you getting this? It's not enough to just say, oh, it's going to turn on praise. Praise is going to turn it. What is it going to turn into? When they pass through the valley of Baca. In other words, you are not denying the reality of what you are dealing with. Say, this is my reality, but this is what I call it. The world may call it barrenness. What do you call it? They may call it joblessness. What do you call it? They may say you're broke, but what do you call it? Listen, a lot of times the difference between hunger and fasting is labeling. Oh, I'm not sure you got that. And the person who calls it fasting will get something out of it. The person who calls it deprivation and hunger at the end of that season has nothing. What do you call it? Hallelujah. When they go through the valley of Baca, they appoint it. That's what it says in Hebrew. They appoint it. They consider it. They take it. They call it what they want. So they say, look, this is a place of pools. In other words, it may look like trouble, but call it opportunity. That's the truth. It may be like I'm lonely and all by myself, but call it your seclusion time. God is hiding me. God is separating me for a purpose He has called me onto. Hallelujah. What do you call it? But let's go back to our focus this morning. Okay? Blessed are those who dwell in your house. How do we know? They are ever praising you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. In other words, the fruit of your trust in God is your praise. The fruit of your trust in God is your praise. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. To dwell in your house means to take up permanent residence. That is descriptive of the nature of your relationship with God. I have made up my mind concerning you, O God, and I'm not going to shift. Nothing is going to make me change my position. I have taken up permanent residence in God's will for me, in God's purpose for my life. I have identified myself perpetually with God. I don't visit here. I live here. I am in a permanent partnership with God. How do we know that? It will reflect in your praise. Hallelujah. It will reflect in your praise. Listen to this other one. Praise is not a reaction. Praise is not seasonal. Praise is perpetual. Praise is not what? A reaction. It's not about, oh, look at what God has done for me. I'm going to praise Him. It's not about, oh, look at the opportunity I have. I'm going to praise Him. Oh, look at, I got the breakthrough. I'm going to praise Him. No, 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 no. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. So you've got to understand, praise is not seasonal. Praise is not reactionary. Praise is perpetual. Praise is a permanent state of being. If I trust Him, I will praise Him and I will continue to praise Him regardless of what I'm going through. Psalm 34 and verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord. To bless the Lord means to worship the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, high, low, mountains, valleys. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. In other words, some of us, we use the time we're supposed to praise, we use it to complain. Hallelujah. Sometimes we describe the problem instead of praising God in the problem. I would bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually, not seasonally. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 to 20. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 to 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another. This should be our conversation. This is not a service. This is a lifestyle. You know, when we read Ephesians chapter 5, some people say, oh, this is what we do in service. So when we come together, so we're singing to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It was not describing a service. It was describing our life. That on a perpetual basis, okay, we may be growing in the same house, going through tough times, but it says we speak to ourselves. We sing in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs. Look at verse 19, sorry. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Now look at the next line. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Permit me to repunctuate always. Because the original Greek was not as punctuated as the English translation. And when they punctuated it, okay, they did it based on their understanding and convenience. But when you look at this verse of scripture, it's not about always giving thanks. It's about singing and making music from your heart to the Lord always. In the spirit of Psalm 34 and verse 1. Are you getting this? The same thing we have in Mark chapter 16. These signs shall follow them who believe in my name. They shall, okay, now some people read it as, this signs shall follow them who believe. In my name they shall drive out demons. But another understanding is, this signs shall follow them who believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. Are you getting this? Because believe, everybody believes. But the ones that produce results are the ones that believe in his name. So Peter and John said, it is by the name and faith in the name of Jesus that this man stands healed. So it's not enough to believe. It's about believing in the name of Jesus. That's an example of a place where the punctuation should have been moved elsewhere. Another example is Ephesians chapter 5. Look at it again. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord always. Sing and make music from your heart. Now watch this. Somebody says, oh, I'm not a musician yet, but you are qualified. Everybody should sing and make music from your heart to the Lord always. Hallelujah. Emphasis on always. What am I doing when I'm doing it? Giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. One more verse of scripture. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 to 18, New King James Version of the Bible. Rejoice always. Hallelujah. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hallelujah. Rejoice always. Why? It's the will of God. Can we see now? Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord always. Rejoice always. For somebody listening to me, this is your message. You do it from time to time. And the reason why you've not gotten result out of your praise and things have not been turning the way they are supposed to turn is because you wait for a good time to praise God. You wait for things to be going good to praise God. Your praise is a reaction. When the day is good and the sun is up, you praise God. But when the days, you know, the skies are blue and things are not working, you go into a dirge. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. There was one song we used to sing when I was a kid. See, when you sing it, there's a way it makes you feel like you're singing to God. Amen. It's not a song of praise. You see, sometimes we think we're praying to him, but we are just expressing sorrow. I mean, those are kind of songs I grew up with. There's another one. Dilenu baba kale kini hu aye ti hale mo mi ba mi muso. And when you sometimes when you sing those songs, you get to the voice, you clap, you sweat. God checks out. Because that's not praise. That's you expressing your frustration in music. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know the Igbo ones. If not, I would have taken the Igbo ones. I don't know. So nobody of you should. I'm Yoruba. So don't think, oh, he came for the Yorubas this morning. I'm one of them. Amen? So that's the ones I understand. The only one I know in English is the one I sang. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And you sing it very well. You wax it strong. Nobody knows but Jesus. No. Sing a song of praise. Praise God always. Stop talking about your trouble. Listen, have you noticed everybody has challenges? For some people, their trouble don't show on them because they learn to put on their garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You know, the word despair means hopelessness. You have to be hopeless to sing about hopelessness. But you have an alternative. Tell your neighbor you have an alternative. Come on, type it in the comment section this morning. I have an alternative. I don't have to cry. As a matter of fact, even if I cry about it, I will wipe my tears and then I will praise him about it. Because the Bible says, in all things, give thanks. So the people singing are not just the people that things are going right for. People just have enough revelation to know that whatever my situation is, I can turn it with praise. Hallelujah. I can turn it with praise. And you know, every time we start talking about praising God in the midst of challenges, okay, the text we go to is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I've taught about or taught from 2 Chronicles so much that I'm not going to read any verse from there today, but it's a masterclass on crisis management. 2 Chronicles 20 is a masterclass on crisis management. I'm just going to highlight a few things as we run along this morning. Jehoshaphat teaches us in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that if you find yourself in trouble, and I'm sharing this by the way, it looks like a digress this morning, because as a pastor, it has come to my knowledge that quite a number of people who are members of our church are dealing with challenges. And I'm not talking about hypothetically, I'm talking about people with names, people with phone numbers, people with addresses, people that we know. That look, people are dealing with challenges. So instead of preaching beyond or preaching and pretending as if people don't have issues, let me quickly in 5 minutes help you. If you're dealing, going through a tough time, you're dealing with a challenge this morning, then you've got to pay attention to the masterclass of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat says, if you find yourself in trouble, seek God in fasting and prayer. That's step one. Seek the face of the Lord in fasting and prayer. If you have not sought the face of God, listen, this is where I like to tell people, if you have not spoken to God about it, you have no business speaking to men about it. Seek the face of God in prayer. Step number two, in response to your fasting and prayer, God will give you a prophetic word. And your prophetic word will have two elements. First, it will have encouragement. And then two, it will have specific instructions. That is the point of departure from the fact that we all go to the same church. Because your instruction is not my instruction. And the reason why some people are stuck is because you keep waiting for an instruction for everybody. But in your situation, God will tell you as an individual what to do. He told Peter to let down their net. He told Jehoshaphat, go out and meet them tomorrow, but you are not going to fight. Hallelujah. Go out and meet them tomorrow, but you are not going to fight. He told Joshua, dance around the city once every day. Okay? On the final day, shout. Are you getting this? Everybody with a specific instruction. Okay? The widow in 2 Kings 4. Go to your house, shut the door against your sons, borrow vessels, borrow not a few. These are specific instructions. Listen, if you take another person's instruction and you act on it by faith, it will not work for you. You have to seek God to the point where you get your own prophetic word, your own instruction. Are you listening to me? So when we started praying in the morning and in the evening, it was not because, as a matter of fact, I don't know anybody who is doing what we're doing. See, it's not because somebody else is doing it. It was our word at Hill City, and everybody who's been a part of it can testify. In fact, there are testimonies we can share publicly from the morning and evening prayer. It's our word. Let me tell you the truth. It's been telling on myself and Pastor D. We've been stretched. In the last 1 week, we've been thinking, maybe we just need to find a way around this prayer meeting. It's draining. Let me tell you what is draining it the most. It is draining us from our personal time with God. Not that we are tired of praying, but we miss the time we used to spend with God alone, without any other person. Because we would have said, let's pray in the morning and we have our own time with God in the evening. But morning, evening, we're praying. But that's our instruction and we are doing it. And in the last 1 week, it was as if God decided, hey, guys, you can't afford to stop this. Let me send you testimonies. One after the other. People just keep calling to say, Pastor D, Pastor Shaggy, you don't know what's happening. During prayer meeting, this happened. During prayer meeting, that happened. During prayer meeting, that happened. And like I said, some of the testimonies we can't even share in public. Ask your neighbor for me, what's your prophetic word? Amen. What's your instruction? Okay? And then step number three is adjustment. You now adjust to your word. So at Hill City, we say no more midweek service. That's adjustment to our word. Because some people think, oh, now that churches can meet again, maybe we are back to Sunday and Wednesday. No, 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 no. We are not back to Sunday and Wednesday. We are back to Sunday alone and the Monday to Friday, morning and evening. That's our word. Hallelujah. The early church met every day. Since the time this church started, I've been racking my head. Hallelujah. They grew the way they grew in impact and influence. See, because there's something about meeting together. And I've been racking my head. How do we do it until this season? And those people said, the early church met every day. Now you can meet every day. Thank God for technology. It's our word. But see, you've got to adjust to your word. So Jehoshaphat said to them in verse 20, trust God. You will succeed. Then he said, trust his servants. You will be established. Now, for some of us in the 21st century, we're a little bit skeptical. Oh, that's the point where they tell us to trust the prophet, and the prophet can tell me what to do, and then take my money. You don't understand. In the Old Testament, he had to speak to them through a prophet. In the New Testament, he speaks to you directly. So verse 20 of 2 Chronicles to you in the New Testament is, have faith in God, but much more than that, have faith in your prophetic word. Are you getting it right now? It's not, New Testament is not you have faith. You don't need to have faith in me. If it was based on your faith in me, I won't come this far. Oh, did you catch that? If you are waiting for people to agree with you, you're going nowhere. In the New Testament, it's not about faith in the prophet. It's about faith in your prophetic word. But in the Old Testament, the only access you have to a prophetic word was through a prophet. But now you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. But you've got to believe in your prophetic word. How do I know you believe in your prophetic word? You are just it. If he has told you to be silent and he will fix your marriage, stop arguing. If he has told you as a man, you just go ahead and provide, regardless of what she says, even though she does not appreciate it, you respond to your prophetic word. And that was Jehoshaphat did. Hallelujah. He adjusted. So when they were going up, so first they had no plan B. Think about it. See, what some of us are doing is, yeah, we heard what they said in church. No, yeah, we know the prophetic word, but we are still going to come up with something that makes us make sense to ourselves. So some other persons would have woken up, taking the prophecy, we are going to win today, then they would still have had a battle strategy, they would still have decorated the army, carried the banners, and go say, how can we go to battle without a strategy? But Jehoshaphat said, if he said we are not going to fight, we are not going to fight. So guess what he did? He appointed singers, and then he put them in front of the army. I'm going to place my faith. I'm going to put my praise in front of my plan. Are you getting this? As an expression of faith in the God who gave me a prophetic word. If you don't have a prophetic word, please go back to step one. Just enjoy the music, but today might not be your service. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You need to have a prophetic word that you have adjusted to before you invest in praise. And if you miss every lesson that Jehoshaphat came to teach in this masterclass, please don't miss this one. Effective praise is discretional. Effective praise is discretional. It's not commanded. Listen to this. Praise is a spontaneous expression of faith. If you trust him, you will praise him. Now watch this. How much you trust is how well you praise him and how much you invest in your praise. So Jehoshaphat did not just say, oh yeah, everybody sing. He selected. I'm not sure you got this. He selected the people that he sing. He invested thought into his praise. You just don't open your mind and sing anyhow. If you're a worship leader, you need to understand, if you consecrate yourself, if you dedicate yourself and you seek the face of God, he will give you a song. Let me help you understand this. The best way you treat people is to find out what they want and give it to them. Your praise is not effective until you, by discretion, says, what will please God? How should I go about it? And then you invest in your praise. David did the same thing. He appointed people to sing and to praise God. Hallelujah. In the minimum, have a playlist. Don't just invest in the songs you are singing in this season. In other words, put some thought. Oh, Pastor, this is just fantastic. You know, like some people will tell me, this is my message online. Some people will say, it's just some nice philosophy. It's amazing. So let's establish this one in scripture. Psalm 47 and verse 7, classic edition of the Amplified Bible. It says, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises in a skillful psalm. And with understanding. What's the meaning of skillful? Don't just sing. Bring out your best. In other words, the best vocalist in church should lead the praise and worship. The microphone does not have to go around. Do you understand what I'm saying? The best song, don't just put songs together. It was done by a Christian brother. It's not every Alaba music that should make it to your playlist. In this season, There are songs. I was coming to church this morning. It's something I don't, when I'm driving, most of the time, I'm playing a message. I'm listening to teaching when I'm driving. But this morning, I was just coming to church. I felt led to listen to worship, and I opened YouTube, and the first song I played, now that song did not play because, you know, I just stumbled on it on YouTube. No, there are certain people I follow. One person God is using for me in this season is Chandler Moore. Go and locate that song, Hill City, in the room. When it shows up in the room, what are you going to do? And I was just praying in the spirit, coming to church. It was my song for this morning. Put some investment into it. Get some data. Don't just sing the song that's available. The same song your grandmother sang and died. Amen? And that's what some people are still singing. No, you've got to invest. You've got to sit down. What are the songs I am going to sing? Solomon gave God 1,000 burnt offerings. You see, what am I going to do to praise him? You've got to give him time. Amen? Everybody should allocate time that you're going to worship. Some of our prayer sessions, we're going to be having 30 minutes of non-stop worship. If you wake up and get bored, you're on your own. From beginning to the end, you will just hear me pray in the beginning in Jesus' name. And at the end, we'll share the grace. But it will be a playlist of carefully curated songs that worship God. By the way, that the music makes you feel good does not mean make it worship. And in time where you want to worship God, stop demanding things. Because some people don't know the difference between prayer songs and worship songs. We're talking about praising God. It has nothing to do with what he has done. It has to do with who he is. Who he is. Hallelujah. Who he is. So it says, the Bible says, sing praises in a skillful psalm and with understanding. Hallelujah. Because effective praise is discretional. How much of it you do is up to you. How much you trust is how much you praise. And how much you trust is how much you invest in your praise. How much of time do you want to give it? How much of thought goes into your preparation for praise? Hallelujah. But I want you to also notice something here. That when they fasted and prayed, God spoke. But when they started praising him, God moved. Amen? Somebody needs to get that. When they fasted and prayed, God spoke. And then, and for many of us, you have promises hanging over your head. But if you want to see God move, you've got to learn to praise him. Hallelujah. You've got to learn to praise him. There's a time to praise. I mean, there's a time to pray. There's a time to fast. But you've got to be sensitive to the time you need to praise God. If you are going to see God move, you've got to learn to praise him. Oh, this masterclass is beautiful. Jehoshaphat is teaching us this morning. There are three moments of praise in this case study. 2 Chronicles 20, there are three moments of praise. And those three moments are symbolic of the three major moments of our lives. Tell your neighbor for me, don't miss your cue. Don't miss your cue. Don't miss your cue. You've got to understand the season you are in, because the season you are in, it demands a song. The season you are in demands an attitude. The season that you are in determines the kind of praise you are going to give God. So there are three seasons, and everybody's in one of these three seasons. And this is very powerful. Your praise in every season is what will usher you to the next season. So if you don't learn to respond properly in praise in a current season, you may not know how to open the door to the next season. Hallelujah. The first one is the season where there are challenges, but you have a word. That's a prophetic praise. Okay? You have sought the face of the Lord. There's trouble. You've sought the face of the Lord. And then you have a word from God. What you do is you will take the word from God and you will take it back to him in song. That's a prophetic praise, where we are declaring what his word has said concerning him. Then we go to stage two. Okay? You have obeyed the word. You have adjusted to your divine instruction. And now you are waiting on God for a manifestation. That is expectant praise. Are you getting this? When you have done, listen to me, please listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God will not do for you what he ordained you to do for yourself. In response to your specific prophetic word, there are things you have to do. The praise you sing as you do will carry you. Then you get to a point where you have done what you are supposed to do as a man. Now you are waiting on God for a miracle. You now begin to sing songs of expectation. You begin to let God understand how much you trust him. That's expectant praise. And then there's stage number three. Okay? And this is your victory praise. When your victory has come, we call that thanksgiving. You can now see physically what you used to expect God to do. There is a way to respond to that. Okay, if you read 2 Chronicles, okay, Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, they took out a day. They gathered spoils for 3 days. The Bible said on the fourth day, they gathered in the valley of Beraka to praise God. When you check it, they praised God at three different stages. And each and every one of us are in those three different stages of our lives. And you've got to know the right response in the season that you are in. Hallelujah. But listen to this. Of the three major moments, moment number two is the most difficult. It's not difficult to praise God when you have a word. It's not difficult to praise God when your miracle is in your hand. I'm telling you the truth. You see, sometimes I look at my children, I just burst forth in a song. Not just because I have children, but I have the kind of children that I have. You know, sometimes you will look at what God has given you and you will know, God thought. I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. You see, I'm stimulated by thoughts. Okay, thoughtfulness stimulates me. Creativity stimulates me. And it's amazing how God will stimulate me by my five-year-old. He will say some things. I'm like, God, where did he pick that from? And it would amuse me. It would gladden my heart. It dawned on me. God did not just give me bones and flesh and blood. He gave me my own child. It's not difficult to praise God. Sometimes I just look at him like, Lord, I thank you. My 10-year-old is so loving. When I have a word for my season, I can sing. That's easy. But the difficult one is you gave me a word. I have stepped out on your word. Now I am waiting for a manifestation and my hope is now deferred. Singing is the last thing that comes to your mind. Now please pay attention to this. The kind of praise you do at that time is very important. It's a double-edged sword. You need to get that. That kind of praise is warfare praise. You don't feel like it. Your situation does not look like it. And yet you praise him. You have nothing to show for what you have declared. You have nothing to show for your effort. You have nothing to show for the seed you have sown. That is when you give God a sacrifice of praise. It's a double-edged sword. Listen, your songs in that season will please God, but these same songs will carry you. I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes when you're too tired to pray, sometimes you're too tired to confess. You're too tired to put one leg in front of the other. You don't even know what to do. So just lie down there. See, sometimes you're even too tired to sing it yourself. Curate the playlist and let people sing it for you on your behalf. See, I don't know if you've been there before, but you can't sing a song. But you know the song you ought to be singing. Then let the song be playing around you. It will please God, but much more than that, it will carry you. Hallelujah. It will carry you. It will carry you. My final principle this morning, and we're going to start praising God. The Bible said they came to the valley of Beraka. At the beginning, the Bible said three nations came against Jehoshaphat. He had a battle to fight that he was not prepared for. He had a battle to fight that he did not have the capacity for. They responded in discretional praise. The Bible said the fourth day, after gathering plunder for 3 days, they gathered in the valley of Beraka. The word Beraka means blessing. The Holy Spirit said in my heart, he said, your praise will turn your battles into blessings. Amen. So when I said praise will make the difference, when I say your praise will turn it, I'm telling you that when you praise God, especially if you are in scenario two, you are in that second season where nothing is working, everything is bleak. As you praise God, you need to realize things are turning in your favor. Somebody has been singing from the beginning of the year and it looks like nothing is happening. I came to tell you this morning, you may not see it, but things are turning. Things are turning. Things are turning and it's about to manifest. But don't stop singing. Because it's your praise that will turn your battle into blessings. Hallelujah. When they get to the valley of Baca, they label it first. Then they begin to praise him according to the label. And it's only a matter of time. It becomes what they call it. Hallelujah. They've told you in school that your child is not doing well. What do you call it? So you're not praising God because my child is not doing well. No. You are praising God. And it's easy to praise God after you have labeled it. Is somebody listening to me? I'm not just perpetually single and nobody wants to marry me. I am in isolation so that God can use me. I'm hidden. God is hiding me for me. God knows if everybody notices me, I'm telling you the truth. You know, when I was a kid, I used to think I should have been born in America. I'm telling you, you know, the way I felt inside me, you know, the way I felt inside. When I saw American movies, something inside me would just leap. Those are your real people. You know, that's the way I used to feel. Why shouldn't? And then one day my mother, oh goodness. My mother told the story how that she was pregnant with me. And she had an invitation to go to America. So I asked her, why didn't you go? She said, well, I didn't want to leave your father. I said, who the hell? Eh? You should have gone and give it back. I said, no wonder. I feel like I should have been born abroad. One day I'm serious about it. And one day I was praying and I asked the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, if I had allowed you to go there before now, I would have lost you. I'm telling you the truth. Some people, it looks like you don't have opportunities, and God knows. My pastor preaching one day said, some of you think you're broke. He said, God is using what looks like broke to preserve you. He said, some of you, the reason why you are monogamous is because you are too broke to finance it. Amen? So listen, for a season, God will keep you, protect you from you. Some of you would have done drugs, but you didn't know anybody that would offer it to you. Some of you will sleep around, but you don't look nice. Ladies don't like you. Amen? The ones you talk to turn away from you. And it looks like nobody likes me. God, they says, no. I'm keeping you. I'm telling you the truth. I'm keeping you. Some people, their beauty comes out in their season. On your wedding day, people say, wow, she's looking so beautiful. Then some brothers will be wondering, how come we never saw her like that? God is hiding you. But the problem is, can you see it? And are you labeling it what God has labeled it? Said, if I allowed you, because by the time I finally went, I saw that there was no big deal. But when I was younger, I was very impressionable. What I saw was the sack jeans, you man. Amen? I would have been gone down in Chicago. What I wanted to become, rap, you know? That was what I loved. Okay? Where I grew up, except you want to rap with Jesha. But, I mean, amen. Come and say with me this morning, God was preserving me. God was keeping me. God was preserving me. God was protecting me. Everything he does and he allows to happen in my life is for my good. Hallelujah. I'm not saying God is going to turn it for good. I'm saying God meant it for good. Oh, did you catch that? It's not just that he turned it. He meant he allowed it for good. Some of us are who we are because of where we're coming from. I'm telling you, some people, God kept you. God allowed some things in your life to build your faith. You will get to a point, you will know, I wouldn't have come this far, but for God who carried me. Check what they call the developed world right now and see how that their faith is in crisis. Amen. Still speaking with a friend from London yesterday, a pastor in London, said, Bishop, you don't understand. Everything that we use faith for in Africa, there is a system that takes care of it around here. So it's difficult for us to tell them about the supernatural because they don't need it. He told me, he said, a pastor told me, why do we need healing anointing when we have in NHS? Think about it. That's the National Health Service. So why they have? He said, for example, right now, in Africa, some people cannot afford to catch COVID-19 because there's no ventilator. He said, we have ventilators. So he said, some people are not afraid of the virus. They just know what to do. The systems are in place. Everything is working. They think they don't need God. But then the systems will begin to fail. They said we were going to be picking dead bodies on the streets. Who is picking dead bodies? Amen. If it is by the way, you know, some areas you go to, you know. It's either there's no COVID-19 or these ones don't have faith in COVID-19. The way they, if it's by the way people have been irresponsible. The other pastor we're chatting said, but for our faith, we will not have been preserved. So you need to understand, God would allow stuff. Stop crying over what he allowed. Seek his face so that you have God's perspective on what you are dealing with, on what you're going through. Can we rise this morning? So we're going to praise God this morning. Amen. We're going to praise God this morning. It's going to take 15 minutes, another session of 15 minutes. Please listen to me. I can't even tell you to forget your neighbor. The person in your house should want your prosperity. Amen. You are going to dance like crazy. You are going to praise God like crazy because you know my praise will turn it. My praise will bring about a shift. My praise will turn things around in my favor. My praise will push things to another level. Come on, let's give God praise in this house. Come on. Come on, give God praise in this house. Praise Hallelujah. You. Father, we exalt you. Father, we magnify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. We worship your name, Father. Wherever you are, would you lift your hands? Lift your hands. And say after me, say, Father, I thank you for the power of praise. Lord, I thank you for what happens when we begin to praise you. In the name of Jesus, I switch to praise. In the name of Jesus, instead of despair, instead of hopelessness, I put on my garment of praise. And as I praise you, I experience total victory in the name of Jesus. I experience total victory in the name of Jesus. Come on, give God praise.
Let's have a living God, oh, everybody. Say, now you the ring. Let's have a living God, oh.
Let's have a living God, oh, na, na. Even the devil, hey. Say, now you oh.
Not true, not true, not true, oh.
Let's have a living God,
hey.
Everybody, oh. Say, now you the ring.
Now you're there,
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 Hallelujah, you're my redeemer. Redeemer. You're my Redeemer. You're my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Since you have rescued my life. You have rescued my life. And I'm never, never going. Come on, if that's your testimony, lift up your voice and declare, you have rescued my life. You have rescued. You have rescued my life. And I'm never, never going back. One more time, all of that is beautiful. Say you have rescued my life. Hey, says you have rescued my life.
And I'm never
going back. Lift up your voice and say my last voice is my last voice.
You have rescued.